Morning, this is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie here on the end of the table today.
Here on the end, out in the sun. We're baking him out.
I'm working on my tan.
Working on his raisin. And we're joined by Kit Planes writer and aircraft designer builder extraordinaire, Mr. Barnaby Wayne Fan.
And it's great to be back at Oshkosh.
Wouldn't miss it. You look like a kid in a candy shop.
Well, look around you.
Yeah. Lots of examples of engineering.
Lots of examples of all kinds of things. I mean, there's, you know, every speed range you can imagine, every cost range you can imagine, and a whole lot of dreams, whole
Kit
lot of
plane
effort.
There looks just like a T-28.
Yeah, well, I've seen some restorations where, you know, it's pretty much a kit.
Yeah.
And then if you look at it, right behind it, you got a Whitman tailwind coming in.
Yep.
And there's an example of just, you know, real clever, simple engineering to make an awful lot out of a not much.
So,
and Steve taught us an awful lot about that, and we're still building on what he taught us.
Yeah, and an airplane is nothing but a bunch of compromises flying around?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, good engineering is minimize the compromise and maximize the gain, and that's a lot of the art of the thing. And, you know, what you have here is a million simultaneous experiments, and we're learning an awful lot every year. And, you know, at the same time, the tailwind's a good example. You want to go back and look at what people did a long time ago. You know, I teach some engineering. And one of the things I tell my students is that conventional practice is not conventional because the old guys were stupid. It's conventional because it works. And, you know, so you learn from that and then build on it.
Right. And I guess you've always got some students that have a better idea.
Oh, yeah, of course. And that's great because some of those better ideas are better ideas. And the rest of them provide great amusement for the rest of us watching. So,
oh, geez.
And, you know, but the other thing is you sometimes, even from an idea that, in large isn't a good idea, there's a kernel in there. You know, so even sometimes you'll do something that doesn't turn out or some very young, smart, enthusiastic person, because what's cool about dealing, you know, and I'm working with a lot of young engineers now at the stage I'm at my career, is they're looking at it with a fresh set of eyes. They haven't been doing the same thing for 30 years. And so, yeah, a lot of what they do is silly, but every now and then they'll see something that we've been staring at for 30 years and not seeing. And you can learn a lot from that.
So you get the all gosh moments every now and then.
Oh, absolutely.
That's fantastic. Let's talk about one of your most unusual all-gosh moments, the Facet Mobile.
Okay.
I believe I described it probably rather unflatteringly as a doorstop.
Well, it's been described all kinds of ways. You know, one of the things that we got very tired of early on because of the resemblance to the 117 is, did you get the design from Lockheed? And, you know, Peter Lurt, who did the first flight for us, finally came up with the right answer for that. We tell him, yes, it's a nose wheel chock for C5.
Oh, jeez.
Now, so, aside from the fact that you wanted to build something that was, you know, uniquely original and unusual,
yeah,
what was the design exercise? What was the goal?
Okay. Well, there's a lot of history there. A good piece of it gets back to the Dyke Delta.
My son fell in love with one of those.
Yes, I still have a 1967 Air Progress that had the Dyke Delta on the cover. And, you know, there's two airplanes that kind of, and they're both EAA airplanes, that kind of colored my entire view of design. As in, you can do it a different way and do cool stuff. And the Dyke Delta's one, and Ed Lesher's Teal was the other one. And, you know, I had the great fortune to go to University of Michigan for my master's degree and study under Ed Lesher. But, you know, the Dyke was a really interesting approach. And then if you go even further back in history, there was a series of very low aspect ratio airplanes, the Air-Ups, the Vought Flying Flapjack, that if you go back and look at the numbers they got, they performed far better than the conventional wisdom said they should have. And, you know, that intrigued me right from the beginning, even when I was, you know, too young and too not educated enough in engineering to understand why. And they were cool. There was a lifelong interest in that, and so things started to evolve from there. And after a while, I began to understand why it works, and that is that the low aspect ratio shapes have a lot of wing area, and they're structurally very light, so you can build an extremely light, structurally efficient airplane with very small numbers of parts, and that was very interesting. The faceting actually came to be by a very strange path, because I guess it's the early 70s. There used to be a good model airplane magazine called American Aircraft Modeler. And in the center, they used to have a beginner's model. And one of them was a thing called, literally, The Thing. It was created by a guy named Bill Potter, and it was a little faceted lifting body. And, you know, you could build it, you could make it in about 10 seconds and throw it, and it would glide an L over D like 3. But it was cool, and it was indestructible. And I built a few, and then I forgot about it for years. And then years later, at work on a dead day, we were talking about fun things we built as kids, the engineers, and one of the guys mentioned this, and we started making them out of file folders and throwing them between cubicles.
There's okay.
And so I said, okay, that's cool. And then I made a gas-powered one, you know, as a free flight, and an RC one. And then a good friend of mine named Murray Rosansky one day said, you know, if you put a canopy on the top of that thing because it was flat top, you know, you could make a real simple home built. And I said, Murray, you're nuts. You know,
landing gear would be seed was planted.
Yeah, I mean, this is the classic case of a bad idea turning into something. You know, no, the land. I mean, you can't see over the sides. The landing gear would be 14 feet long, but you know, you're still thinking, Murray. Cool, right? And one day, I was out flying my RC model, and I decided to try inverted flight, and I flipped it over, and it flew better inverted than it did upright. You know, with the flat side down. True story. And then I was looking at it and going, wow, with the flat side down, I could just put windows in the sides. And
there you have it.
And there you have it. And it evolved from there. And, you know, what it really was the crystal, the final, you know, kind of crystallized, let's go do this, is I got to a shape where I said, okay, look, it's all straight sticks. It's got to be simple to build. You know, classic home builder. We could do this in 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, great quote from a friend of mine who used to exhibit here. We were starting fast at Mobile, and I was telling him, "Oh yeah, we can do it in a year." And Michael, he's from Munich, and he looked at me. He said, "That sounds about right." But then again, a home build is years about 1,200 days. Nailed it! It was perfect. I mean, that's almost exactly how long it took. But so the whole idea was simple shape, easy to build. You know, once you have this lifting body shape with the pilot in the middle, you're well protected. You've got a space frame around you in every direction. Low wing loading, or we say thing loading, so you can fly very slowly.
Mm-hmm. There were never concerns about stability.
Oh, of course there were concerns about stability of the designer, but, you know.
Okay.
But really what we did, you know, before we started building the airplane, we had lots and lots of hours on radio control models. And we went up to a full quarter scale model. And then I also went back to the old, you know, the data that NASA took on the lifting bodies. And so I'd done a lot of research before. I mean, we didn't just build it cold and say, well, let's go scare somebody and see how scary it really is.
Yeah.
So before we actually started cutting metal on the real airplane, we'd probably had a few hundred hours of flight test on models. And that got us far enough along to say, it's basically a stable and controllable configuration. We don't know everything. And, you know, Wayne Phan's first law of applied aerodynamics is that there's a surprise hiding in every airplane. And we found it, and we fixed it. And it wasn't serious. It wasn't a heavy safety thing. The control forces were very weird the first time we flew the airplane, and with some tabs and some other stuff, we got it dialed in. But, you know, the big RC model pretty much gave us confidence that the thing would work.
Now, when you approached the FAA about having this thing made airworthy, certified airworthy, did somebody look at it and go, what is this?
Well, you know, we used a DAR, and he was a very nice guy, and he came and he looked and he checked my paperwork, and I showed him a bunch of stuff. And, you know, the only document you had to produce was a weight and balance and proof that you'd built it.
Okay.
And, you know, he checked our workmanship, and the workmanship was fine. And he said, you know, so he signed me off, and he said, you know, after you try this, you must call me and tell me how it turned out.
Yeah.
You know, because he was skeptical, but, you know, we met the rules. And, you know, one of the wonderful things about the way the rules are is the FAA does not second guess your design. Your DAR does not say airplanes got to have curved surfaces. What they say is, don't fall on any uninvited
yes.
or unintentional participants. You know, the wonderful thing about the rules is they let you make your own decision about the level of risk that you're willing to take to go try to accomplish something, and then they're designed to make sure you don't hurt anybody who didn't agree to play.
Right, right.
You know, you don't take any passengers and pretend it's a certified airplane, and don't fall on anybody. And that's
that, knock yourself out.
And, you know, that is the essence. That rule is the essence of why we see this marvelous innovation around us and everywhere. Because I could do the thing that everybody thought, you know, I mean, if I showed people drawings of my airplane before I flew, they'd say, well, I know your reputation, Barnaby, but you're out of your mind. You know, and then there's another fellow who thought putting the tail on the front and making airplanes out of plastic was a good idea.
Yeah.
Right? And you see the results of that.
This is Digital Dave.
And Fast Eddie.
And you're listening to EAA Radio, AM 1210, FM 100.7, and around the world on the internet at airventure.org/radio.